Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time, 855-839-1210. In a moment, we'll talk with Ray Dittinger, get his sense of what went on the last couple of days, and then moving forward. It's always a big story in town. But if you've seen the tape of this guy, particularly venomous, at an Eagles game, going after this woman, calling her the C word. Dan, do you think you have to go after the guy, or do you think, part of the thing is, what do you have to lose here? In other words, today you can't punch a guy for calling your wife the C word.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous instance there. I don't know. I don't want to encourage any kind of physical violence, but the guy had to be removed. It's great that, but I don't know, Dom. I'm excited to hear what Ray has to say about the situation, though.
All right. We'll take that as... I wonder what the senator from Oklahoma would say about
doing
that.
Doing like 30 different things.
Okay. Let's go to Ray Dittinger, the great Ray Dittinger, here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Ray, welcome in. Thanks for joining us today.
Always a pleasure, Dom. How are you?
Well, very well. And I would tell you this, Ray, that I, more than ever, after seeing the last game and hearing you on WIP, I think you were right. It was being charitable to call Jalen Hurts even average, that
right.
tells me even more how overwhelming potentially the Eagles could be. And I know that L.A. is pretty hot, or hotter than they were when we played them last. But if he's even decent, just doesn't turn the ball over, I would have the spread at least a touchdown. That's how overwhelming they look to me.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think that's where most people would put it. I saw the line open today at 6, so it's right there where you said it's a touchdown with the Eagles being favored. And that's probably fair because the Eagles, they were the number 2 seed in the NFC. And, and they played the Rams not all that long ago and won pretty handily. So, you would certainly think that the Eagles are the favorite in this game and should be playing at home. But the Rams should not be underestimated. They started the year very poorly. It looked like they weren't even going to be anywhere near the playoffs. But they finished really strong and were playing real well down the stretch. And they've got and postseason games, it very often comes down to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew Stafford has been a good quarterback in this league for a long time, won a Super Bowl with this team before, and you saw last night that that he can still win big games. So, I know that the Eagles are the better team. I do believe that, and they're playing at home, which is a significant advantage because the Eagles have been very good at home. But I don't think anybody should be looking past the Rams and thinking, well, this is easy. We'll just cruise into the championship game because this is going to be a challenge. I do believe that. The Rams come in here after getting embarrassed on national television by the Eagles the last time they played them, and they got something to prove, and they certainly demonstrated last night against a team. They were underdogs last night playing against the Vikings, and they won that game going away. So don't look past the Rams. You got to play it one at a time.
Well, I would say too, when I was looking at these two teams to play the Eagles next, whoever wins, I'm not believing Darnold is going to come here, and you saw it last night. With that crowd and the pressure you're under here from the moment you land or even before, and be able to maybe squeak by, but Stafford might be able to handle it. It takes a rare quarterback. I don't know if there's 5 in the league that can handle the type of pressure of playing in Philadelphia and something this important.
Yeah, I agree with you on everything you just said. When people... going into when the playoffs started and the seeding started, and you looked at the Vikings, a 14-win team. You looked at Darnold's season. He was one of the top-ranked passers, was way up near the top in touchdown passes, completion percentage, and all that kind of stuff. But I just felt dumb. I've seen Sam Darnold too often over the years. I saw him when he first came into the league, and I saw him play play. And I, you know, and to me, he's always been a guy that comes up small in the big game. And, you know, and I felt like he had some big games during the season, and people were saying, well, look, you know, he's finally figured it out. And, you know, playing with O'Connell out there, a good coach, he's really finally realizing his potential. But, you know, I knew when it came down to the postseason, and when I knew when it came down to the big games, I just felt like he wasn't going to deliver. And it happened to him now back to back. I mean, they had that big game mm-hmm. against Detroit, you know, where they could have been the number one seed. And he had a terrible game. Detroit wins. And then they go to the next game, and they got to play the Rams here, and he was awful last night. And so that's, you know, he's gone from a guy that everybody said, wow, he's really reinvented himself, and, you know, now the Vikings have to make a big decision. Are they going to re-sign him for the big money? And in just 2 weeks, I mean, that's all falling apart, and now there's no question, you know, the Vikings are going to let him go, and somebody will sign him with the hope that he's really going to develop into a winning quarterback. But I think what you saw the last 2 weeks is really kind of what he is. I mean, he'll put up big numbers, he'll win some games, might get you to the playoffs, but if the idea is trying to win a championship, he's not your guy.
Ray, I'm fascinated, too, by your thoughts on changing Philadelphia sports fans. I wouldn't have given a standing ovation to the Philly shortstop. The guy bothers me. He really can't play shortstop, and he won't go anywhere else. I was making this point. Jalen Hurts, I listen to WIP on our own station a lot. People are willing to say, hey, he's just a game manager now, but we're okay with that. That's all he has to do to win. When you play in a universe of cap money and you're paying him $50 million, in the past, with Angelo, you there with them, Glenn McDowell and others, I think there'd be more pressure. These fans seem to be more forgiving of that.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think that he's, from what I've heard on the station, especially this past week, I've heard a lot of back and forth. I mean, I would say it's probably, you know, 60 to 65% behind him. But I've heard a good 30, 35% that are critical of him. And, you know, when I was on with Joe and John mm-hmm. on Monday, we were talking a lot about the quarterback. And what I said was, look, he won the game for you. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't make any big mistakes. But the simple fact of the matter is, he's going to have to play better for them to win the championship. I mean, he got you through that round. He's got you here to the divisional round. But if the idea is to go on and win a championship, to go on down the line and beat the kind of people he's going to have to beat, which is, mm-hmm. you know, maybe Jared Goff, maybe Jaden Daniels, you know, maybe Patrick Mahomes, you know, maybe Josh Allen. I mean, all of these guys, you know, he's going to have to play better than he played last Sunday. I mean, you know, Saquon Barkley is going to do his thing, and the offensive line is still really good, and the defense is you absolutely count on this defense week in and week out because they're that good. But at some point in a big game, you know the quarterback is going to have to make a big time throw and help you win that game. And the question was, you know, after what you saw last Sunday, how confident were you in Jalen Hurts and being able to make that play? Well, we've seen him make it before, but it was obvious that the time off and the concussion protocol and the injury he suffered, he was not in sync. I mean, he was way out of sync. He never really got into a rhythm there, even though the line protected him, I thought, really well. And he's going to have to play better. If the idea is to try and win the Super Bowl, you're going to have to get better performances out of Jalen Hurts.
I'm going to take the other side, Ray, on this and say, I just think the Eagles are so overwhelming. If he just doesn't screw up, turn the ball over, et cetera, I hear what you're saying. A couple teams in the AFC look great. That's how overwhelming this roster is. But yeah, I realize the importance of a quarterback. I just was mesmerized watching this last game, and I come to that conclusion. So, Ray, my son and his girlfriend really liked Tommy and Me tremendously. Even got a high five from the guy who plays Tommy and said you were a great host and that you cut the Q&A short, even though they wanted to hear it, because the Eagles were playing and
we were getting
late. So, again, how many places has this play been? I remember down at the theater down on Front Street doing a Q&A there in the beginning.
Correct.
It's just incredible.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, that's a good way of describing it. I mean, it's going way beyond all of our expectations. And you've come out a couple of times. I mean, you came to Fringe Arts Theater down on Columbus Boulevard when we first started back in 2016. And then you came back again when we took it to the Bucks County Playhouse. and you came there. And this would be we're right now at People's Light Theater out in Malvern, and this is, by my count, our 8th different theater and our 12th
wow.
different production since we started this in 2016. It's really amazing, and we've gotten a tremendous reception from the people out at People's Light in Malvern. It's a really wonderful theater. I'd been there to see some other shows over the years, and it's really a terrific theater, really intimate. I mean, the audience is practically on the stage, it's so intimate. I mean, the we don't even have to mic up the actors. I mean, they can just do the show without microphones, and it's just really great. And we just finished the first week, and we had sellouts every night. And looking down the line, I think we're pretty close to sold out the rest of the run, and so much so they extended our run. So we're now going to be there through February 1st. So it's been great. And listen, I don't doubt at all that the success of the Eagles and all the excitement around the Eagles has contributed to that. I mean, we're sort of riding that their jet stream a little bit here, I think, because everybody's thinking Eagles right now, and this is obviously a play about pro football and obviously a play about the Eagles. So I think that's part of it. But the way people have come out and responded to this, Dom, it's just been wonderful, and it's great that we're going to got about 3 more weeks to go.
It is, and the change in Philadelphia sports. It used to be fathers and sons. Now it's fathers and sons, but fathers, sons, or moms and daughters, all of them want to see this. That's the change, right? And it revolves around you, and only in Philadelphia, and only the stuff that you've done over the years. That's why it works. It's tremendous.
Well, it's been really gratifying, and the guys in the cast are doing a great job. And Herb McGee, the great basketball coach, the Hall of Famer, he came out the other day, and he had seen the play. I guess Herbie's seen the play like 3 times now. And he came with his daughter and a bunch of their friends, and he did the Q&A with us after the show. And he said to me as he was leaving, he said, I've seen this play 3 times. He said, it just keeps getting better. He said, I've seen it. He said, every time I see it, it gets better, because I think that the actors, for the most part, have been with us from the beginning. And now, after 8-9 years, I mean, they have become these characters, and they really love doing the play. And, they bring that enthusiasm and that love to the stage every night.
You mentioned a sacred guy for my money. Not that he could play in the NBA, too small. He's the all-time best shooter. I match that against anybody. You put him in there, he might make 500 foul shots in a row. I've seen him do it carrying a microphone on him because he's teaching kids 3-point shooting. I've never seen a guy like this. It's pure beyond belief.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I've seen him. I've conducted interviews. When I was at the newspaper, I did a couple of big pieces about Herbie and his career. And, I would interview him before they were practicing, and I'd be interviewing him, and while we were doing the interview, while he was answering my questions, he would be shooting. Would be standing out on the court, like around the top of the key and stuff, and he'd be talking to me, conducting a conversation, and shooting the basketball, and only half paying attention. And he would make 50 in a row. and barely looking. I mean, I think just in terms of just pure shooting the basketball, I honestly don't think I've ever seen anybody like him. I really haven't.
No, absolutely. And again, I can't imagine anybody else. Ray Dininger in pro wrestling. So it's all there in Philadelphia. Congratulations. So tickets available. Just Google People's Light Theater.
People's Light Theater out in Malvern, and just go on the website, and you'll find the link to Tommy and me, and come on there and order your tickets. We're going to be there now through February the 1st, and there are still some tickets available. Not a whole lot, but there are some available. So if you want to come out, or you got somebody in your family that's wanted to see it and they haven't had a chance, this is your opportunity. It's a really, really great production, and if you've never been to People's Light, it's absolutely a theater worth visiting.
Absolutely, Ray. Congratulations. We'll talk soon, hopefully. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Dom. Always a pleasure.
Ray Dininger here. Henry, you were nodding there. Did you ever see Herb McGee shoot?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. He came to some basketball camps. I was out.
Okay.
And he just drained all these free throws in a row. And so he'd be like, look, I can't miss. I can't miss even if I tried. Eyes closed, backwards.
Yeah, Luke is a 3-point shooter. We went to a 3-point shooting camp, and he was walking around. For some reason, they didn't have modern equipment. It was like a hanger with a microphone on. I saw him make 30 in a row.
Yeah.
Just talking to parents and doing that for 3-point.
Saw him like shoot it through like the rafters and the ceiling. And to be like, look, I'll try and miss this one.
Unbelievable.
And he'll make it.
Unbelievable. Okay. Got the side question. Distinctive hair today. Coming off Billy Ray Cyrus. Where did he come from? will be part of the entertainment with President Trump. Pete Hegseth is more than holding his own today. They're throwing everything at him, including sex outside of marriage and having a kid with another woman and all that. Is that disqualifying for a Secretary of Defense? Yeah, it's bad character. But is that the thing that matters here? It's not a military position. And the sharpest was with Gillibrand about how dare you say women can't be in combat, how dare you say there are quota systems and all that going on. Where are we with the military? Coming up, I'll give you some of the professions that people still highly value, even though the approval rate is not anywhere near 90%. The military even not near 90% like they used to. And we'll take your calls. Scott Jennings here at 2 o'clock. Can hardly wait. We've struck up a real good bond with Scott Jennings, and he is going to be, or is now, helping to run the editorial position of the L.A. Times. The L.A. Times saying, yeah, we shouldn't have endorsed Karen Bass, not Cindy Bass. And what's going on in California? We're coming to the point where they're wanting to be paid. 855-839-1210. A lot of people are destitute if the federal government doesn't help. But how are you going to get them to reform? What kind of strings can you attach to them? Could we logically think they would actually follow that once they got the money? 855-839-1210.
8,000 well-trained. So we got a recruiting crisis. 8,000 well-trained men and women were fired. We're fired. Will you commit today, Mr. Hegseth, to recruit these folks back, to give them back pay, and give them an apology from the United States government for how they were disrespected?
Senator, I will commit to this because the Commander-in-Chief has committed to this, that not only will they be reinstated, they will receive an apology, back pay, and rank that they lost because they were forced out due to an experimental vaccine.
Okay. All right, that's about COVID. Here again, big difference with the attitude of Trump and Secretary of Defense to be Pete Hegseth on what to do with people who refuse to be vaccinated, particularly given the recruiting crunch. We've seen that before. We mentioned a couple of other cases last week where people were welcome back, but how to make them whole? Well, that's what he just committed to. This is a good hearing other than the nonsense in the beginning as far as a number of issues that are involved. 855-839-1210. Now, I mentioned the military and how we view the military at this point or its lethality that Democrats keep on talking about. How U.S. adults rate the ethics and honesty of select professions is out. What are the ones that have a net positive? Well, the only one in the 70s that I see, 76% net positive. When you take away the negatives, just left with the positives, nurses. Nurses are the highest now, 76%. Grade school teachers, not high school teachers, apparently don't trust them, but grade school teachers, net 61. Military officers, net positive 59. Pharmacist, net positive 57. Pharmacists used to be the leaders. You know what I attribute that to? The proliferation today of big drugstore chains. Who knows a pharmacist? You know?
Yeah, you don't know neighborhood pharmacist anymore. Like,
yeah.
Down by the shore, there's a guy by the name of David Spatz. He was a big media guy, and everybody on the island of Wildwood knew his name because of Spatz Pharmacy and his father.
Right.
And was just as such a community member, and that proliferated down to his son and was almost like a local, you know, celebrity because of that. But you don't have it anymore. It's a face on a wall that says head pharmacist, and you never get to speak with them or anything.
Yeah, exactly right. And they were trusted because they knew you and said, maybe you don't want to do that. Check with your doctor. Medical doctors are at 53. Majority negative. TV reporters are at 13. Members of Congress are at 8. Lobbyists are at 0.
Are you telling me the public thinks higher of Congress members than they do media reporters?
No, the TV reporters are higher. Majority negative. They're at 13% positive. The members of Congress are 8%
positive. Okay.
Judges and clergy still enjoy positive ratings, but enormous decreases over the period of time. They're not up there near the top, but they still barely get over the line. Advertising practitioners, car salespeople, business executives.
Car salespeople is a good measuring stick there. Every time you hear someone slime, it's like, oh, use car salesman.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I like the car salesman I've dealt with.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a moniker that's true.
And something here, state anymore. Office holders were near the bottom of the list. The state level, people don't like them either. They're near the bottom of the list. But notice the military has gone down. Why is that? Why has the military gone down that much? Because of the command that we see, because of the wokeness, and because of the fact that we're worried that the military's not in good shape, that the military may not be up to it with the Chinese and or others. I think that's the reason why, quite simply. 855-839-1210. What confidence do you have in the U.S. military? That's kind of what Hegseth is saying today, and a lot of the Republicans, we don't, because of the policies, because of what has been done. And I think the tests are different, the fitness test and everything else. I think the women in combat thing just shows you what the Democrats are about. It's not about a fighting force. It's about social engineering. Can you name anything else in society where you think it is almost a complete meritocracy? Two that I can name, the NFL and the Navy SEALs. Even brain surgery. How many people have we brought on the station talking about diversity in the medical field? Airline pilots, same thing. Nothing wrong with diversity, but that should not be the goal. We want people that, today, Henry, is what? You and I were talking about this after. Sully, today,
yeah,
that guy, I've never gotten him on, I don't think, over the course of time. I admire him so much. On this date, what, 20 years ago? Was it 15?
15 plus now, I think.
Says, we're going to have to land on the Hudson, ladies and gentlemen. The audacity of it.
Yeah.
And then after that, he wasn't a prima donna. He made sure everybody got off. He made sure they got there quickly enough. They put him through the ropes. He had to testify. They were impugning him. Imagine these people impugning a guy that can land on the Hudson. But the idea of it is preposterous, right?
Totally.
Yeah. So what the average pilot would have done is they would have said, oh, somehow or another, I'll make it to an airport, and they would have crashed. That's what would happen.
Yeah. As that good pilot instincts took over.
Yeah. Even I got to say, I'm sitting on the plane, though. I don't think I'd be saying, oh, this is a hell of a thing. I'd be thinking, what the hell?
I'd be saying my prayers, calling my loved ones.
Yeah. It's not only skill. But aren't you surprised that the co-pilot didn't jump him and say, no, we're not landing on the Hudson. No, no way are we doing this. So it's on this day that he did that. Maybe he thought, too, that the river is a little bit more solid because we're in January. I don't know if he would have done it in the summer. I'm just thinking it had to be more frigid, et cetera. He was calculating some of that.
Yeah, I'm sure like everything went in his head, but it's like, yeah, it became like, all right, what's the softest landing spot?
Right.
The street or...
Right.
The river.
Right. And if you hear you have a guy like Sully there, I don't know how you would know about the pilot. But if you detect that this operation now mainly doesn't look at merit, it looks at quotas, it waters down testing and all kinds of things to be more diverse, that's not what you want. I don't care what the person's like in their personal life. I want someone who's going to land the plane. And in the military, the same thing. I want generals that are going to be able to fight. I read that long. I haven't finished it, honestly. It is brilliantly written, the Chernoff book about General Grant, Ulysses Grant. And he was a drunkard, pretty much. He had to keep stuff away from him all the time. And yet, he was brilliant. It wasn't just he had superior forces, and he fought. All right. Lincoln said, send him gallons of whiskey. Just make sure he drinks it sparingly so that he can continue to fight. That's what you want. You don't care about this other stuff. Democrats are saying no. First of all, they argue that you're better off if you care about all that stuff. Why? What's the upside here versus merit? Isn't merit the thing? Well, we really can't measure merit. That's what they get back to. That's why we don't have merit pay in schools. Let's go to Joe in South Philly here on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Dom? How's it going, buddy?
Good, Joe.
Yeah, I was just telling your boy there, I'm watching this thing on Capitol Hill about this guy, it's not going to work in this country anymore. The Democrats and Republicans can't get it right. Either one, they can't get it right. All the Democrats don't want this guy, and all the Republicans want him. And they're coming up with all kind of different stuff. He beat his wife. Mm-hmm. He has a boy. You know, he had a baby with another girl. It's just insane. I was telling your guy, I listen to the show every day, and I think the country's insane. I think everybody's crazy.
Well, I have more hope. I think they came to their senses in this election. It was pretty overwhelming, Joe. They want a different path.
Yeah, but I don't. Anything that they have to vote on or anything, they're just going to. They can't stand this guy. They hate this guy. They hate him.
I would put a pizza bet, Joe. So tell me, you want to bet a piece of pizza at least? I say heads. Seth gets through with 52 or 53 votes.
Oh, I hope he does. I hope he does. I mean, I don't want to see that not happen. But it seems like everybody that he's picking, they're against. Instead of going that way and say, well, let's try it. I mean, we tried what we have here for 4 years was a disgrace. And then they put a disgrace to run against them. Like, could you imagine her fighting a war?
Yeah, it's far-fetched. Thank you, Joe. Thanks very much for listening every day. Look, I'm more hopeful. That's a sign that's going on here with Trump and what's going on. And any of these Republicans, any number of them in the past, would have split from Hegseth. They're afraid to, though, because they realize most of the country does want this kind of change. He's not the most controversial. Boy, when we get to RFK Jr., it is going to be. I just hope Elizabeth Warren is on that Health and Human Services. Oh, my God. Gillibrand, though, is just not very smart. And today she exposed herself in this whole thing. Warren's smart. It's just that the ideology and the presentation. And we all know the backstory. You know what the worst part is? Even after she did the DNA testing, and it showed her to have no more Native American blood than Dan, I, and Henry might have, I think it was 0.01% maybe, she announced the results and still said she's continuing to run. I mean, you know, she's going to get a beer, too, in the middle of it. At least Bernie Sanders is authentic. There's no doubt in my mind. He's a curmudgeon. He's far left. He's a hypocrite on what he does, but he's authentic with it. Fetterman. What is it that Fetterman has? Seeming authenticity. What he is what you see. All right, 855-839-1210.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
Good night, everybody.
When they tried to do that with her, oh, my God. 855-839-1210. By the way, I think we're in the second round of questioning coming up. I think this goes to the end of the day, but we'll give you more highlights, too, here with Dom, Dan, and Henry on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dom Giordano Show. How do we leave off this guy from Hair, the king of hair from Jersey, Miss Kim, his barber? Now, Miss Kim just said, hey, let's let this grow out a little bit. Yeah, really? When he looked like he was making some moves, he's doing his State of the State address. I think it's today.
Who, Phil?
Yes. And I'm not going to be a knee-jerk on this. I got to really think about this, you know, being vastly involved in schools and seeing this in operation. He's going to propose that the entire state will be phone-free schools for the state's more than 600 school districts. They would pass guidelines mandating that you couldn't have the cell phone, the kid would have to put it in, do whatever. I'd rather it be the individual school district. In other words, you know, that's where the action is. They know their people. They know what they're there for, the individual school board. Because here's what I would say to you. If this is so apparent, oh, they got to take the phone away from the kid, that will solve everything. Not that kids having cell phones in schools is a good thing. Then why is it only in Jersey, maybe, as far as my knowledge, probably under 10 to 15 that have passed saying you can't have a cell phone. You have to put it in a pouch when you come in the morning or each classroom. The only reason I'd be against it, Dan, it's a pain to be doing this every day. I know it's a pain for them to have them too. Is that a fair point? Why aren't the individual school districts doing that? If that's such a good idea, are they cowards? Are they not listening to parents? I kind of don't like Murphy and anything he's involved in, but doing it in a state level, saying no cell phones in school. I think a lot of parents, because of emergencies, things of that nature, they want some access to it. Not the only reason I can think of. Otherwise, they are a distraction. They do make things difficult. So state of the state, I'm not sure if he does it this afternoon or not. His proposal is for phone-free schools. And they'll develop guidelines for the nation's more than 600 school districts in policies banning cell phones in schools. Dan, no decision. You're monitoring the other.
No, I feel like if this is something proposed by a Republican governor, I'd be all about it. You know,
right.
So I can't imagine being against it just because it's coming from a Democratic governor.
No, I'm not
governor.
Against it just because it's him, truly. But I'm asking, why don't the local school districts do it?
Because I think it's a very long process. A lot of times they're looking for some kind of backing so they can pass it. So if they have a parent come after them, they can say, hey, look, there's a state guideline about it. That's why we follow this.
Well, that's another reason why I'm against
it, though.
Yeah, I don't like that part. I mean, I think the local school board should be deciding these things. I hear your point, though. They're cowardly, then. They don't want these parents.
Yeah, I think it's cowardly. Yeah. And they don't want to be based on a vote in the future. Or
Yeah. Ban them?
Phones shouldn't be in schools, but I don't know about putting it up for legislation. I don't like that. Yeah, it should be decided at the school board level or even by the principal or whoever.
Yeah, they ought to do it.
I couldn't have cell phones in high school. It didn't stop me from carrying it around, I'll say that much.
Oh, you weren't able to use it?
I wasn't able to use it.
Okay. All right.
Or have it. I wasn't able to have it on my person.
Yeah, I mean, I despise Murphy. I can't hide. I despise what he's done here. And you're right. I don't want to be, just because of that, anytime he proposes something, say, if he says today's Tuesday, I say, no, it's not, just because it's him. But there's something about at the state level doing this that's a little bit off. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. One other thing, and we hope to have him on. I think we've been in touch with him a bit. I'm hearing good things this morning. I'm not going to get crazy optimistic, but former Philly judge Patrick Dugan, I think he resigned last month, is announcing he's running for DA, I think it's today, and the Philadelphia Building Trades and Construction Trade Council, who actually run Philadelphia, by the way, we saw that with the Sixers thing, they're backing him. And one other candidate, Derek Green, who I like a lot, former councilman, African-American attorney, has dropped out. I hear another might. So if it's Dugan versus Krasner, people are telling me there's a lot of Democrats like Johnny Dock's brother on the Supreme Court, people like this who are liberal or labor Democrats, they're tired of Krasner. We finally reached that point. Now, Krasner is going to put up a ferocious battle, but could we see an actual big-time election here with Krasner? And could I actually be convinced that he could lose? Now, the last time, you know, the guy was against him. I mean, there was almost no shot for a lot of reasons. The first time he ran, there were six or seven other people that split the vote, and he had all that money. This time around, has Krasner finally worn out the welcome where people saying that's enough of what this guy's all about? We can't have another 4 years of this. 855-839-1210. I'll tell you this. I think you're going to see an actual battle this time. The primary's always in May. I don't know if it's May 5th, something like that. But this guy Dugan has real backing, money, foot soldiers, people that are tired of Krasner. Is this all part of the Trump effect, too, that we saw in the last election, that people are tired of what's going on? Adams in New York is way down in any kind of polling, for example. Sadly, Andrew Cuomo is the leader polling-wise. I don't know what that tells us, but it does seem like in large measure, people are ready for change. And the people that Trump has put up are definitely disruptors. That's what Hegseth is. I mean, the only real debate here is, can Pete Hegseth run an organization this big? Or do you have men and women who are skilled in auditing, et cetera, run that? And his job is to restore the military away from the woke nonsense that it's become. Isn't that really what the military needs more than anything else? 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you need do is just push #1210. Karis is in Pintersville, Pennsylvania, on Talk Radio 1210.
Bucks County.
Yeah, Bucks County,
upper
right.
Bucks County.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, upper Bucks.
Hey, welcome to the show. Who do you have for your side question today?
Thank you. I listen to you guys every day.
Thank you.
You had a call from a ranch last week. I'm calling you from my zoo this week.
What do you mean, your zoo? What kind of zoo do you have there?
I have a zoo in Upper Bucks County. We have porcupines and kangaroos and all kinds of stuff.
Kangaroos in Upper Bucks County? Wow.
Yeah.
Dan, we're big in the animal world, ranches and zoos. Do you guys like salmon-colored shirts?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And we are coming to the Knack on Monday.
Oh, are you bringing an orangutan or something else to the Knack?
No, but I could bring a baby kangaroo. I actually made a
Dan,
video.
Let's get that into the show.
Wait. I'm not done. I made a video. I printed out all different faces of Pelosi and Schumer and everybody and made a kangaroo court.
Oh my God! We got to see that. You got to bring that on January 20th. That's must see.
Yeah, I even brought the baby kangaroo out, and
how does one get into
a lot of ink on those faces?
How does one get into zooing? Did it start with like an exotic animal or two, and you just kept adding on, and now you just have a whole?
Yes. Wow. We do an educational program.
What did it start with? The porcupines.
It started with a wallaby.
Wallaby.
And a goat.
Okay. By the way, I want to tout, you probably know this, but there's a great zoo that's free at the shore with
the Cape May Zoo.
The Cape May Zoo is a very nice spot.
Yeah.
Dan, you proposed nearby, was it at the zoo?
I proposed to the wife there.
Yeah. At the zoo?
At the Cape May Zoo.
I thought it was.
Next to the antelopes.
Which the antelopes.
Yeah.
How fitting.
Yeah, some zebras
Maisie
out there.
They have
a giraffe.
They have a lot more money than I do.
All right. Well, we're glad to have zoo.
One more time. Where's your zoo? Is it open to the public?
It's not open to the public. We're private. We do we do a traveling zoo educational programs. We've actually done the Knack summer camps.
So they've been in the Knack before.
Oh, the kangaroos over there with Jim Worthington. Okay.
Yeah, let's get Karis's information. Maybe we can get baby kangaroo out for an inauguration.
Yeah, I'll put you on hold. I love that idea.
Okay.
Yes. Can kangaroos catch a football?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
kick a football, right?
How big is the pouch? You know, somebody with my arm 40 yards away, can I throw it into the pouch?
Actually, my mother kangaroo has a baby in a pouch, so I wouldn't even try that right now.
we can take the baby out. But okay, who's your person? Who's your person?
My person is, you don't even have to watch this show. And to be honest with you, I don't really. But Marge Simpson.
Yeah, that's a really good one. The hair, certainly. How do you figure someone like Amy Winehouse, who was this singer who died sadly too young, 27 drugs, and she had a beehive hairdo? It was, who has a beehive hairdo anymore? All right. 855-839-1210. All right, these are some of the people out there listening. Zookeepers.
Fascinates me that we have
ranchers.
A zoo now, yeah.
Is there an astrophysicist out there? I usually ask that question once a year. I met a psychiatrist or psychologist yesterday, Dr. Bences.
Is anybody here a marine biologist?
There you go. Absolutely.
I don't know. Final hour? Why don't you call us if you got a cool job? Let's try to find the coolest job
Throw that into the mix here. That's pretty good. I know I've spoken with her before because of the name. All right, 855-839-1210. We got Scott Jennings at 2 o'clock. Take more of your calls here. And I mentioned this guy Dugan. I'm not getting crazy yet. We hope to get him on the show. But the backing he has, this is much different. I hear the average run-of-the-mill Democrat wants Larry Krasner out of there. But He still has a black clergy, and he still has progressives. Chestnut Hill, places like that. It's not that far away. It's only about 4 months away, the primary. Under 4 months. 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Hey, looking to achieve your health goals, start the new year right. Now's the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy levels, and more with Rescue Natural Supplements with their New Year's savings. Rescue is celebrating you. You can save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements. Use the code HEALTH3535. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart health, Rescue Probiotic for better digestion, or Rescue Orosine for more energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Start your journey to better health today. Use that code HEALTH35. Again, save 35% on all single supplements. Use that code HEALTH35. Don't wait. Make this new year your best yet with Rescue. We have some great ones still left on the board. All-time hair, given that Billy Ray Cyrus is going to perform at the Trump inauguration. Scott Jennings may be a bit delayed today because the hearings have gotten over. Let's go, though, to, as Pressler, Scott Pressler calls him, the judge. Brings it up all the time, like there's going to be a legal problem. Our buddy Mike Donahue is also chair of the Cape May County Republican Party and also has a seat at the table when we're at Mulligan's, like a night of the round table, and was our host the other day at Icona with Scott Pressler. And Mike, you have an announcement that really is earth-shattering, because no way in the world that Jersey would be involved in Trump land in the manner that you've just announced.
Yeah, Dom, thank you so much, and thank you for the kind words. Listen, it's very exciting. It's been in the works for a little while. A press release just launched. I was hoping to have Matt Rooney on here, who will partner with me in these efforts. He's stuck in court. Somebody's got to work. So America First Policy Institute is a think tank based out of Northern Virginia, D.C., and is essentially the development of the Trump policy wing. It's officially a 501c3. It doesn't do endorsements, but it is a heavy hitter, deep thinking policy development outfit that, you know, develops defensible and rational America First policies that then get disseminated to policymakers and would-be policymakers, and it has done tremendous work. AFPI has, I think they're up to about 9 members of their senior leadership that are going into the Trump cabinet, including Pam Bondi and Linda McMahon and Brooke Rollins and Doug Collins and a whole host of other people, including Pete Hegseth, who's involved in AFPI and is on the hot seat right now. So we're very excited. We have some good friends at AFPI we've been talking to for the last month or so, and we wanted to launch right before the inauguration. So we've announced today that I'll be the chair of America First Policy Institute, New Jersey State Chapter. My partner will be Matt Rooney, who will serve as executive director. And it'll be our job to take that America First approach from AFPI into Jersey, create New Jersey-specific America First policy positions, and, you know, put those together, travel around the state, build this movement, support, you know, like-minded policymakers, and enlist activists, all those things that you do when you approach these important policies. And I just can't tell you how excited we are about it, Dom. It's going to be huge. I've been doing this for 30 years in New Jersey, and, you know, we've tried many times, but I think this will be the first real solid statewide effort with some heft behind it to drive these kind of policies to convince people who voted for President Trump last year and almost won the state for him to come out again this year. It's really important. We have a gubernatorial race, and I think we can capture that momentum with the AFPI effort behind us as well. That'll be complementary and supportive of everything else that's done in the state. But this is, you know, I see it as sort of the critical element that's been missing to have this really heavy duty policy driver with resources behind it, with people behind it, to come into Jersey in this cycle and beyond, but most especially in 25, to be able to put these America First policies on the ground in a way that people can understand them and aren't, you know, technically too esoteric, in a way that the average person can say, that's right. That's how I feel about what the open border has done to my neighborhood. That's what I feel about how these school boards have abused my children. That's how I feel about the out of control economic situation in New Jersey where we can't thrive as a family or a business. So that's what we're doing. And we launched a few moments ago. I appreciate you calling me right on, Dom, to talk about it. It's going to be exciting and we're going to really build it out. We'll be in DC for 4 days for a bunch of AFPI events surrounding the inauguration. Then when we come back to Jersey, we'll be traveling the state to have meetings with all kinds of interested parties and start putting AFPI events together and really building this thing out.
Mike, I can't say enough, and for listeners, they realize this, it's shocking to do something like this in New Jersey. It tells us, A, how far the climate has changed and how you and Matt are pouncing on it. It's ripe for it to break all that esoteric down and get it, and you guys know Jersey, to Jerseyfy it. And you mentioned, the first thing you mentioned is, I think, the immigration issue is right. Something that Jersey across the board, there's a lot of people, might be lifelong Democrats, moderate Democrats that hear that, though, that are sensitive to this. And this is something on the affordability issue. How would America First coalesce with that in Jersey?
Well, listen, we've been using that word affordability since I first ran for state assembly in 2007, and it hasn't really broken through. So I want to talk about that from a little different perspective, that how does your family thrive? How does your business thrive? And if it's not thriving now in New Jersey, which many are not, how do we get it to thrive? And I think when you look at these issues, there are some core conservative principles that come to bear on these, that, you know, if you can control state spending, then you can control taxes. If you can, you know, we had a sales tax in New Jersey that was supposed to go offset property tax, and they consumed that for the general budget, right? We had all these different taxes that were put into place that were supposed to offset property taxes that Trenton then eventually just consumes to feed their pigs at their trough. So I think there needs to be a New Jersey Doge, like Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are doing on the federal level. I think we need to Doge Trenton.
Well, wait a minute. I don't think we have enough guys to do that. You know, the federal government's bad enough, but Trenton, oh my goodness, we need a lot of green eye shades. Now, will this play out in the governor's race too? I don't know if you'll endorse or it's not that type of thing, but would the people running for governor say, yeah, I support this. This is a great moment. All of them probably know about it. America First Policy Institute. That's exactly what we want in Jersey. There's one that I think would not, Bramnick, who I know you're friendly with, but I don't think he would do it. Maybe the other three would.
Right. So I'll say this. AFPI as a 501c3 doesn't endorse candidates.
Okay.
You know, I wear many right. hats. But in this context, to talk about AFPI, the policy sort of development are policies that are intended to be accessible and have positive value for policymakers, right? So that would include potential policymakers. And they are also policies that would be developed and sort of driven on the ground with people who are like-minded, who can then become activists and engaged on the ground in a broader sense. So that's the answer to your question is we would not be endorsing officially. We would, however, be looking to develop policies that candidates can carry with them and have
right.
America First elected officials, you know, existing elected officials, legislators and others who would embrace these policies and help advance the America First agenda as well. So that's how it all fits together. You know, we'll get there in June to see who our gubernatorial candidate is. And of course, I'll be doing a lot of work and some of the other hats I wear in that regard. But as far as AFPI goes, there's no endorsement. This is development of policy that then becomes, you know, digestible in the public arena and hopefully advanced by policymakers and would-be policymakers.
Exactly. Well, I see a lot of good things: opposing harmful offshore wind projects, economic freedom, good governance, strengthening public safety and education, and meeting as many times as possible over the summer at Mulligan Shore Bar.
That's exactly right. It's a critical part of the operation, Tom. Keep the round table open. Keep my feet warm.
We will do that. Congratulations, Mike. This is a big deal for you, for Jersey, et cetera. You doing this and Scott Presler in Jersey, how can we lose? Yep. How can we
lose?
Yeah,
and don't forget Matt Rooney's going to be
Matt Rooney, of course.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It's going to be great.
All right, Mike, keep us in the loop. Thank you for coming on today.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, that's big news. I'll flesh that out a little bit more. We're waiting on Scott Jennings. He may have to do his day job on CNN for a few minutes. With the hearings being over, the confirmation hearings for today, we'll update you on that. Take your calls at 855-839-1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.